We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's 10:33 here. So on Friday, the Amber Alert had been out for a little girl named Olivia Jansen. And over the weekend, we heard about murder charges that were filed against the father and his longtime girlfriend in the death of this three-year-old girl. And it got a conversation going about child abuse and the suspicions that this girl's grandparents had. And there was an event yesterday where the grandparents of Olivia Jansen, Elizabeth Jansen, and Howard Jansen II joined a crowd outside the Wyandotte County Courthouse calling for justice in this girl's death. And so they said that recently they had grown concerned about this girl's well-being and that they had called Kansas City, Kansas Police, and eventually the State Department of Children and Families. And they had said, Elizabeth had said, quote, and I'm reading out of Channel 41, because they wouldn't do anything other than knock at the door. And so I was on the phone with them June 22nd for 23 minutes, telling them everything I could think to tell them. They sent me an email on Thursday saying I could send them more information, but for me to know, they wouldn't be contacting me. And then initially the girl was reported missing and her body was found buried in a wooded area several hours later.
This story, I mean, there are so many things that just outrage you about, mm-hmm. about hearing this. And I mean, even on Friday before the news broke, Friday afternoon, I was listening into Dana and Parks, of course, and they were talking about this and talking about what had already been said at that point. And the authorities were making it pretty clear on Friday that they were getting inconsistent stories from the father. From the father of Olivia, about what had happened and the gap in between when he said that she went missing and when he called the police. And I mean, none of it made any sense. And they said as much, and you could feel it. I mean, you could feel, as much as you didn't want to believe it, you could feel what was about to happen. And yeah. It did. And, you know, when the news came out that I guess her biological mother, so it was her father and the girlfriend who have now been charged with aggravated child abuse and murder, first degree murder. And her mother, her biological mother, was already in prison on an unrelated charge. And that came out Friday afternoon. And I thought, you know, what more do you need, you know, to hear about this story, to really, you know, get an understanding of what we're about to hear. And then when it came down, it still hit like a brick. I mean, it was just awful. And I can't imagine how the grandparents, and this is his mom and dad, this is dad's mom and dad, who were out there protesting, you know, and holding signs that said justice for Olivia and things like that. And I mean, how outraged must they be for trying to work through channels, for trying to go through the system and being given the brush off, frankly, and then find out that this happens. I mean, they tried, and it's got to be a nightmare to try to navigate that and have somebody step in when you've got a three-year-old child who's in that kind of danger.
So have you heard details about exactly what they reported to officials or what their suspicions were? Because I'm seeing quotes from the grandparents. Elizabeth Jansen's the one that's really been speaking out, and she said this has been going on for months, and it didn't have to. And the Wyandotte County DA, Mark Dupree, said, if you know of a child being abused, if you hear of a child being abused, regardless if you are a mandatory reporter, make the call.
Well, they did.
And it sounds like, that this family did make the call and nothing happened. And the quote from Olivia's grandfather was, torture, they kept her from us. We called DCF. We knew it was bad, but we didn't know what we are learning now. Have you heard details about what they're referring to?
No, I haven't. And I hope that they say. I hope that they're able to say, okay, this is what was going on. And it sounds like, and this is unfortunately a fairly common thing when you have a child who's being abused like that, is that they kept Olivia, that the father kept Olivia away from her grandparents. That they, you know, they just wouldn't allow them around, wouldn't allow them to see their granddaughter. That's a huge red flag right there. It doesn't, you know, it's not a guarantee of child abuse, but it is a massive red flag. And if they're not there and they don't see it, then it becomes a little bit tougher for them to report what's going on. If they can't say, I saw a bruise, if they can't say, you know, that she was showing obvious signs of having been beaten, then what are they supposed to do?
Or just to see the child's demeanor, you know, especially 3 years old when they're not quite, they're getting there. I mean, they're getting to that point where they can start to answer your questions and tell you if someone has hurt them. But one of the things you pay attention to is just has their personality changed a little bit, you know, and it helps to consistently be around a child to be able to notice that kind of stuff, you know, because the physical wounds can heal. But if they seem like, you know, they used to be happy and jolly and now they're afraid of something, or to watch that child interact with their parents, you can learn a lot from that interaction. And that's part of the concern about the shutdown orders right now, you know, that we had in the last few months, was that people were alone and kids that were being abused. And frankly, this is a concern across all age groups, but people that were in dangerous situations were stuck in those because you couldn't, there was nowhere for them to go.
Yeah, and especially if you see those kinds of personality changes in a 3-year-old. I mean, that is not normal in any sense of the word. So that's, again, going to be a huge red flag. But if they're being kept away, there's not much that they can do. They may not notice. But clearly they saw something. And, you know, I hate to start speculating and guessing at things like this, but it's a pretty easy conclusion to come to, that they may have tried to confront him at some point and said, what's going on? And that's when he shut the door and said, nope, you're not seeing her anymore.
Right. And then, you know, that's the dad's right, is to say, you know, you can decide who gets to see your child and who doesn't. So initially, what the dad had said was that he had seen Olivia at 11 o'clock Thursday night when he went to sleep. And then what he said was he woke up at 5:30 in the morning on Friday and she was gone and the door to the house was open and he reported her missing 3 hours later.
Yeah.
I don't know why you wait 3 hours to report her missing. That's your first one of your first clues there, is that you waited so long to report her missing.
Yep.
So throughout the day, investigators searched around two homes until they got a tip and they found the girl's body not far from 34th Street and Steel Road near a trail. And I've not heard details yet about exactly what happened.
No, and I, I dread it. I dread hearing it. And what I dread hearing even more than just the details of what kind of abuse she must have suffered over a period of time, you know, let alone what happened the day that she died on Sunday or late Saturday night, whenever it was. What I dread hearing even more than that, and I know it's going to come out eventually and it's just going to make me angry all over again, is the justification. Mm-hmm. There will be one. There will be a justification. Oh, you know, she did this, or she wouldn't stop doing that, or whatever it is. And it's going to be normal 3-year-old things, and it's going to be unfathomable. I mean, when that stuff comes out, and it always eventually does. So there was a story many, many years ago about a kid named Bradley McGee who was killed by his parents because he wouldn't stop wetting his pants. And you think about that and it's like, okay, he's 3. That happens sometimes. And I mean, something like that is going to come out and it's going to be used as a justification for murder. And I dread hearing it, but I know it's eventually coming down the pike.
I also want to know what was going on with the state, with DCF. I want to know, you know, were there, and this will be investigated because there have been a lot of questions about that part of Kansas government before now, but did they respond the way that they were supposed to? Did they take it seriously enough? Did police take it seriously enough? You know, were the proper channels followed here, you know, to make sure that this child was safe? And And maybe so. I mean, there are, you know, things that you have to go by because you don't want to assume someone's guilty when they're not. You don't want to take a child out of a home unless you really have to. And so maybe they, based on the information they had, maybe all protocols were followed. But it's one of the things we got to ask about how this was handled.
Definitely. And I mean, this is where we can ask you as well. And if you want in on this, I would love to hear from you. We both would. I mean, the idea of trying to deal with that system, when you make those reports, what happens? Where do they go? If you see something that you know is out of whack and you try to do something about it, is there any response? Is there a response that means anything? That, you know, does somebody actually step in and do the kind of checking that needs to be done? And if you've got some experience, this is one of the things that thankfully I have zero experience with. I've never had to make any of those phone calls. So if you have and you found yourself dealing with that system, just exactly how hard is that to navigate? 576-7798 if you want to get in.
And if we have anyone listening who's a mandatory reporter, you know, there is certain training that comes with that. I was one when I was teaching in schools. You are a mandatory reporter then, and so there are certain things that you're told. That's just where, you know, you are trusted as a person to report that higher than you. But have you ever been in that position where this has been reported to you? Let's get to a quick call here before we take a break. Again, 576-7798. Let's go to Kansas City and talk to James here on a Monday. Hi, James.
Hey, guys.
James.
I just want to throw something out there, and I don't know if these grandparents did it, but there is a law out there where you can go file for grandparent rights. And if I'm not mistaken, you can file for emergency grandparent rights if you believe the child has been harmed. You know, and I don't know if they did those steps or any process leading up to that. I know for a fact I'm a grandparent, and if I feel like my grandchild is going to be held away from me, I will immediately, I don't care how much money it would cost me, I would immediately go file for them rights, because that gives you the same right as a father would if he has to get his right to see his child, or a mother, vice versa.
Yeah, they may not have known. And I, you know, and now that you're saying that, I don't know. I don't know what the, because again, never had to deal with this, but I don't know what that grants you or how quick that moves when you try to file for that kind of an order, but they may not have known they had any rights.
Well, I know in the state of Missouri, you know, I checked in on it just in case we face that problem, and they do have an emergency, you know, in place if you think your child, your grandchild is being harmed, and if you pay the money that it needs to take to get it done, it could be done.
Gotcha. All right.
I just want to let everybody out there know that.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for the call. We'll look this up during the break. I'm starting to look it up, and it does look like grandparents can file for visitation rights under some circumstances. Custody is a different thing, but we can grab some of that and look up that information here during the break.
Yeah, I wonder how much different it is over state lines as well. You know, whether on the Kansas side it's different than on the Missouri side.
They are never the same on anything.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm sure it'll be different. Yeah, we'll grab that and look that up during the break here. 576-7798 if you want to get in. So it looks like in both Kansas and Missouri, there are options for grandparents to get emergency visitation. It seems like it's an easier thing. You see a lot more of the law when it comes to like custody, in custody situations when there's a divorce happening, that grandparents can make sure they have rights to see their kids. But it looks like there is law that allows for grandparents, if they fear a child is in danger, to become temporary guardians.
Yeah, and it just leaves it up to the individual situation, I guess, as to how effective it is in enforcing that kind of an order. And we have Debbie in Odessa online with us. We're going to bring her in here to do a little talking about exactly that. Hi, Debbie. How you doing? Debbie?
Hi, Debbie.
We lose Debbie?
Looks like we lost her.
Oh, sorry about that, Debbie. Yeah, if you get a chance, give us a call back, because she apparently had some experience with that and actually filed for grandparents' visitation rights at one point. But yeah, it makes it seem like that's what it is. It's about visitation more than anything else. Custody is another matter entirely. So with that kind of an emergency order, it would probably just allow for them to go and check on her and make sure that she was okay. But again, if they didn't know that, you know, if they weren't aware of what their rights were, it becomes immaterial. Fact is that once that call was made to DCFS, something should have been done.
Yeah, and you got to wonder what the burden of proof is
Yep.
You know, particularly to grant temporary custody. I mean, that's where the courts get heavily involved. That's where you're looking at charges. I mean, that's where the state is saying, you know, we need to put this child in a foster home. We're not going to do it because we're going to give it to the grandparents instead. I would imagine the burden of proof there to take a step like that is high. We were asking also if we have anybody listening who's mandatory reporter, what, you know, what you're being told. We had somebody text in a few minutes ago saying, as a mandated reporter in a school who's had to call about abuse several times, I have been told if the child wasn't clearly currently in clear and imminent danger, nothing could be done. I don't know how you determine that.
That can't be the answer. I'm not saying he's wrong. That's not my point. But that can't be the answer. You can't say, well, if the child doesn't come in bleeding, then nothing can be done about it. Yes, something can be done. You can have, there's got to be some kind of system for wellness checks. And if there's not, there really very well should be. For somebody to be able to go in, a trained professional, to look over a three-year-old and make sure that she's not being beaten up.
And talk to her, you know? I mean, a three-year-old's old enough to communicate, you know? Ask her questions. And professionals are trained to ask these questions.
At that level, somebody needs, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. In a way that a three-year-old, you know, can understand about the dad and the girlfriend, you know, and ask what kinds of things are going on at home. And quote unquote games that are being played or whatever, you know, and punishments that are being given. I mean, you can frame it in a way that a kid's going to understand at that age.
But the thing is, I mean, for the grandparents though, to be in this situation now where, I mean, what's the system going to say back to them? Oops, I guess you were right. That's a mistake that cannot be made.
Yeah. And yet has been, you know, we've talked about this plenty of times where there are cases that fall through the cracks, or yes, they were investigated, but the caseworker was overloaded with cases and did their best, but we have a shortage of social workers and caseworkers that handle this kind of thing because it is a, you know, an awful job to be doing, and those people don't make much money, and you're overworked and you're stressed. Or it could be that the person, you know, that was in charge of the case did what they were supposed to do, but the law only allows for so much. And so, you know, and the parents are given a lot of rights here. Hopefully we'll find out, you know, what DCF did here.
Yeah. And whether there were, and again, this is all stuff that will probably come out over the next few days, whether there were previous hospitalizations, hospital visits, things like that. Did she have broken bones? I mean, at this point, we don't know. The grandparents know a whole lot more about that history than we do, and they're limited somewhat in what they're able to say at this point, but they are speaking out, which is good, because somebody else that needs to hear that message is going to hear it because they're being as vocal as they are. And good for them. I mean, it can't be easy, not only because their granddaughter just died, but that's their son.
Right. And, you know, the state is not, what you always hear is that you don't want to take a kid out of their home unless, you know, it really is a dangerous situation. And I don't know what the bar is set for dangerous there. And again, I'll point out, we just came out of, you know, several months where we were under stay-at-home orders. And the grandparents couldn't have seen the kid if they wanted to. And situations are allowed to evolve with no one being able to check and see how things are going. But the grandparents apparently tried here. So, again, two people charged with murder and several other charges in connection to that little girl's death. So,
we get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.